Welcome to Lit Poetry, the podcast where we go on a journey of discovery, reading, analyzing, and discussing great poetry from around the world. Poetry is worth it because the reading and writing of poetry is a revolutionary act that has the potential to transform both the reader and our world.
Welcome to another episode of the Lit Poetry Podcast. Today we're going to discuss what is perhaps the best known war poem of all time, In Flanders Field by John McCrae. So let's take a listen to the poem read to you by the wonderful Maddie O'Rourke. After the poem, we'll return to the podcast to discuss the historical context and some of the leading themes in the poem.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from falling hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
So let's start our discussion by looking at the historical context of the poem. While McCrae authored other poems and medical texts, In Flanders Fields stands as his sole well-known literary work. Although the poem aligns with the romantic, patriotic sentiments of early World War I poetry, it also subtly hints at the concerns and perhaps anti-war sentiments that emerged in the later war literature. The shift in popular opinion during the later years of the war, viewing it as a wasteful abomination rather than a glorious endeavour, influenced literary works. Poets like Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen depicted the horrors of war with vivid detail, rejecting the notion that patriotic killing and dying could be honourable. Novels like Ernest Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms similarly reflected the war's dark realities. The poem itself exists at the crossroads of these two phases in World War I's literary landscape, adhering to the romantic conventions of the early war while introducing themes of loss and destruction prevalent in its later phase. McCrae penned the poem in 1915, capturing the initial fervour of World War I, which, despite being viewed as a noble and patriotic pursuit, would soon reveal its devastating consequences. Although McCrae was relatively unknown as a poet, and passed away shortly after the poem's publication, it became one of the most renowned literary works of World War I. Widely embraced by soldiers and civilians, it served as propaganda in the United States, Great Britain, Australia, and Canada to bolster commitment to the war effort, particularly in McCrae's home country of Canada. Despite its popularity, the poem faced criticism for seemingly glorifying fighting over peace in its third stanza. The enduring significance of the poem lies in its association with the poppy as a symbol of remembrance. Inspired by McCrae's verses, American professor Moina Michael began wearing a red silk poppy after the war, promoting it as a way to honour the fallen. This movement gained international traction, and the poppy became a widely recognised symbol of remembrance for soldiers who lost their lives. Still commonly worn on Remembrance Day in various countries, including Great Britain, Australia, South Africa, and Canada, the poppy remains a poignant emblem of wartime sacrifice. Welcome back. So let's pivot here towards a discussion of themes, particularly those themes that rotate around ideas of life, death, and nature. In the poem, the speakers portray the location of a recent World War I battle, highlighting both its natural beauty and devastation caused by the loss of life. By juxtaposing two seemingly contradictory interpretations of the same place, the speakers demonstrate the perpetual balance between life and death, even in tragic circumstances. Additionally, the speakers propose that the unchanging cycles of the natural world mirror this equilibrium and offer a means for humans to reconcile with tragedy and death. Death permeates the poem as a vivid force. The speakers immediately depicts the fields of Flanders, Belgium, adorned with crosses, marking the graves of fallen soldiers, emphasizing the profound impact of death on this site. The reference to the guns below at the end of the first stanza extend this impression, indicating the ongoing deadly conflicts in the field. The second stanza reveals that the speaker is, in fact, the dead, representing a collective voice of speakers who perished in the same location. Furthermore, it underscores that these deaths were premature and tragic, with the phrase "short days ago" highlighting this recent tragedy, and the warm imagery of dawn, sunset, and love, emphasizing the significant losses endured by the speakers. The theme of death without repose continues through the final stanza, with restless imagery such as failing hands and the deceased that shall not sleep. Despite the prevailing impressions of tragedy, the speakers counterbalance them with images of beauty and tranquility by frequently referencing the stable cycles of nature. From the poem's outset, the poppies dominate, intertwining with the crosses and suggesting the emergence of something beautiful and alive from the described deaths. Poppies, symbolizing rest and death since ancient times, accentuate the intimate connection between life and death. They are vibrantly alive, yet their presence eludes death. Mentions of the larks and their singing convey nature's robust life force extending beyond the battlefield's tragedy. The larks, positioned in the sky where their song is scarce heard amid the guns below, underscore that nature persists despite human atrocity. The second stanza reinforces the continuity of the natural world's balance, even in the face of human devastation, with references to the timeless cycle of dawn and sunset. Even amidst the restlessness of the dead who shall not sleep, the penultimate line emphasizes that poppies still grow, echoing the initial line and highlighting the enduring beauty of natural forces like flower growth, especially in the face of death. While the speakers acknowledge the potency of death, given their status as the dead, they ultimately convey that death is just one essential element in a broader system inherently characterized by balance. Although death may lack peace, it is natural. And the speaker suggests that by observing the perpetual cycles of the natural world, readers can come to recognize and appreciate the profound beauty and ongoing life that persists alongside tragic death. Welcome back again. The uncomfortable cost of war is a theme that also arises in McRae's poem, and it deserves attention. The poem, as I have explained, is articulated by a collective of soldiers recently deceased in World War I. By presenting them as a united entity and urging the speaker to participate in their struggle, these speakers intimate that war is a collective duty that impacts everyone. While some critics perceive the poem as a direct glorification of war, collective effort, and soldier sacrifice, it also conveys war as a disruptive force that disturbs the natural order Ultimately, the speakers refrain from clarifying the nature of their struggle, leaving readers to decide whether they are urging participation in war or advocating for its cessation. Identifying themselves as the dead, the speakers commence by detailing their circumstances to the reader. The second stanza in particular provides vivid accounts of the sacrifices made by the speakers in the name of war, highlighting the relinquishment of essential elements like sunrises and love. By involving the reader in their personal ordeal, the speakers foster a sense of communal experience, suggesting that war's burdens are shared by everyone in a society at war. The final stanza explicitly underscores this point as the speakers implore the reader to take up their quarrel with the foe and declare that they shall not sleep unless the reader continues the fight they initiated. It is evident that the speakers deem it crucial for the battle to be a collective effort, involving not only soldiers but everyone. However, alongside emphasizing the shared responsibility of war, the speakers portray it as gruesome and senseless. In the first stanza, they convey that war casts a shadow over everything, making it challenging for humans to appreciate the beauty of birdsong amid the disruptive noise of the guns below. The losses described in the second stanza can be construed as a condemnation of war's senseless toll. While these losses may glorify the sacrifice, they also illustrate how war wrenches humanity from the natural rhythms of dawn and sunset, suggesting that war exists as an aberration outside the realm of nature. Given this alternative interpretation, the speaker's plea in the final stanza takes on a different nuance. If the speakers are attempting to convince readers that war is an atrocity, the symbolism behind the torch may be more intricate than simply perpetuating the same battles. The metaphorical torch might represent the speaker's effort to illuminate the horrors of war, and opposing the foe could signify putting an end to tragic losses akin to the ones endured by the speakers. The speakers deliberately leave this question unresolved. It remains uncertain whether they are urging the reader to support or oppose the war. However, they unequivocally emphasize that the reader bears the responsibility to make a decision. The call to hold the torch high demands that the readers acknowledge their own involvement and responsibility in war, irrespective of the interpretation chosen regarding the speaker's quarrel. And this is very interesting and pertinent in relation to what's unfolding in Israel at the moment. So that's it for another episode. We'll be back next week with another poem to discuss. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll finish by listening one more time to the poem. I'll see you next week.
In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from falling hands, we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
You've been listening to the Lit Poetry Podcast, presented by James Laidler. For more podcasts, poetry videos, and other useful resources, visit our website at www.litpoetry.com. Thanks for listening.